Last week we had a wonderful verse, actually a few wonderful verses, one of which said, "Delight yourselves in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Has anyone delighted in the Lord this week and felt that God was telling you about a desire that he has in your heart? Amen? You want to remember to do that. And this is a delightful psalm. That was the first thing I thought of when I was reading this. Well, this is delightful. So God has given us so many psalms, and each one of them is unique and very powerful in its own way. I was particularly moved in my heart. I consider myself kind of a softy anyway, but sometimes, you know, it's not just softness, but it's an inspiration of God that lets you know that he's there. And I think that this psalm, really, more than anything else, lets us know that God is near, that he is close to us. He's involved in our lives. And what could be more delightful than that? You know, he's a delightful God. There's a song, Delightful, right? And it expresses this kind of joy that we have. So we just want to read through this. If you want to open your Bible in your pew, there's Bibles, there's the red Bibles, or you can open your own Bible. And we'll just go through this psalm. It's very brief, it's not many verses, but take delight in the word of the Lord and what he has to say to you today. It's actually known as a psalm of thanks. Are you feeling thankful today for something? Yeah. What are you thankful for today? Surprises, okay. Feeling well, yeah. And what else? Babies. Friends, yeah. I just want to say that every child is unique. And there's a difference between girl babies and boy babies. I just want to say that. They're all great. But there's definitely a difference. And the differences are all great. They all teach us things. And it's so surprising, like Marissa said, to see those kind of things, but to take joy in them. And so David is feeling thankful when he writes this psalm. He says, "I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart." With my whole heart. I'm so thankful to you. I can't tell you how thankful I am to you. And so it kind of sets the mood of this entire psalm throughout. And it really also encourages us to be thankful, right? When we read a psalm like this, we're being taught the importance of being thankful. That's what you were showing us today in the hymns, right? Anthony and family. And, you know, giving thanks is a very important part of our lives. You know, if you're feeling low, the best way to lose that feeling of being low is to give thanks to God. It's a very powerful thing. It's not just like it's this kind of a feeling. It's the truth of God working in us, and it's also instruction from God's word that we are to give thanks. And it also has a great power of working in our lives for good. Right? So if someone has hurt you, you can say, "Thanks be to God," and start to tell him what you're thankful for. And suddenly God's Spirit will work in your mind, and suddenly that person becomes a different kind of person to you. They no longer become a threat or someone who is going to hurt you or has hurt you. They become someone you begin to love because God has given you reason to be thankful. And because God loves you and he's given you this thankful spirit, then you can also give thanks even in those moments when it's hard to do. So keep that in mind. It's a very important lesson throughout life. Every day to give thanks. And if you want to say a one-sentence prayer, then let it be, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus." And he does this. "I give you thanks, O Lord, with all my heart." And then he says this, "Before the gods, I sing your praise." And there's a reason why he says before the gods, meaning in the presence of all these other false gods that exist in the world. He is making a statement that he is thankful to the only true God that exists. Right? So he's making a witness of that, and he's professing faith in the only true God, right? He doesn't put them down in some way, but he is lifting God up and saying that he is higher than all of these other gods, right? And that's a pronouncement of his faith as well. And so we're learning also faith. Yes, we live in a world where there are many different faiths and many different gods that are worshipped by people, but we praise you, God, in the presence of all these other gods as the only true God, as the creator God, as the God who sent his son Jesus into the world to die for our sins, to give us hope, and who we will be with for eternity. Right? And so there's this faith statement. I am a follower of the only true God. Right? And so he is saying that. I am saying this in front of all these others, that God is the true God. And then what does he do? He shows with his body, at least in the words, I bow down toward your holy temple. Right? So there's this feeling of, you know, he's not just saying or writing it, but his whole body and his soul and mind and heart are all in humble honor to God, and he bows down before it. So that's also something we can do, bow down before God. If you find yourself static in your life or some way, you may not be able to do it if you are, you know, inhibited by your body to do that, but you can bow down with your mind before God, right? With your heart before God and show him, I bow down before you today. My life is going to be according to your will today. I'm going to do the things that you desire for me to do. I am yours. And so I bow down before you and toward your holy temple, right? That is where the place that God lives is his holy temple, right? And that's giving us an image also that we can relate to, because we go to church or we go to a temple. At that time, there was a true temple that was built, right? And they're going to be, or a tabernacle, and they would bow down, seeing God in that place. And what does he do? He gives thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. You see what I mean about being delightful, right? It's delightful because it's filled with all of this beautiful poetry and song that we can relate to, and it just keeps getting better. I give thanks to your name for your steadfast love. Recently, we've been studying this word steadfast in the Bible, and it actually means your loyal love. Your loyal love. I can depend upon it. You're loyal to me, a creature of your creation, right? You have made me, but you're loyal to me. And so what do I want to do then? I want to be loyal to you before all these gods, before all these other peoples and all these other voices. You remember we were saying, fret not over all these other voices in the world. No. Trust in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. Commit your life to the Lord. That is the frame of mind. That is the direction we go, and we pause and we go into. And I just wanted this. I want to mention this to you today. There was a guy. I know we have a wrestler or two in the building today. There was a freestyle guy, a wrestler, who was trying to go to the Olympics. Okay, and he was wrestling yesterday or the day before on Friday, I think, to. If he won that match, then he would be going to the Olympics in Paris this summer, right? And so they showed him, and then they showed his opponent, and his opponent was the Olympic champion from the last Olympics. And they went up against each other, and it was remarkable watching the two of them wrestling each other, right? In the end, the Olympic champion lost. He lost to this young man who was the NCAA champion in this match. And after he lost, they were both on the floor, and when the time ran out, the new champion went over to him and he was saying something very softly to this other wrestler, and he spoke to him for a little while. And then the guy got up and he walked away, and the other one just went his way. But afterwards, they interviewed the one who had won, right, the new champion that was going to the Olympics. And they said, how does it feel to be going to the Olympics? He said, praise the Lord. I don't know what else to say. Praise the Lord. So interviewer said, what did you say to to the other wrestler, we saw you talking to him for a little while there. What did you say to him? He said, I love him. I said, I told him I loved him and that he had been the one to help us to go this far in wrestling. He had been a great example to many of the wrestlers. And so he said he thanked him for that example that he had. And then he said this, and I told him that he needs the Lord. And he said, the woman didn't know what to do with that. So she was just kind of like going, thank you very much. And he said, we got to pray that he knows the Lord. That's remarkable. How we need to exercise that. It's a testimony, right? We have that position in life. He is a champion. And what does he do? Say, in front of all these people, I am going to say how great I am. I deserve this. Thank you. Thank you for all the adulation. He says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And he takes the time after a match to tell the person he had just defeated that he loves him and that he needs the Lord. And he said it with great conviction. And that is a fantastic example of this delightful psalm. To stand upon the words that you have, that you've been brought up with, that you know about. And that's why it's so important that we take these kind of moments when we look at a baby starting out and we look at ourselves and we think about our lives and who we are and how we have been living and what we're here for and what our faith is about. Is it living for Jesus? We want to do that. We want to be that person who takes the time on live TV to speak unabashedly, unafraid of what people are going to say and to say, I am a Christian and I love Jesus and I want this man that I know and I've been wrestling to know him as well. And that's what he really needs in life. Beautiful. Delightful. Give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. And that's exactly what this young man did. He was giving thanks to the Lord, not just thanking him and praising him through this song, but through his witness, through his courage to speak up and say, I am a Christian. It doesn't stop when I'm in front of a camera. It doesn't stop when I'm on the wrestling mat. It doesn't stop when I'm in the business that I go to. It doesn't stop when I go to school. I am a child of God. And I thank him for his steadfast, loyal love that he has given to me. He is loyal to me, never giving up on me, even when I was crying in pain and despair, and I went through all these things in life, and I had these bad things happen. He was there for me. And that's why I am in love with him. And that's why I'm giving him my life. And that's why I want people to know. So, brothers and sisters, let us do the same. Thank you, God, for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. And I'm not just saying that. I am going to tell others about it. I'm going to tell people that I meet so that they will know that there is something more important than winning a championship in life. It's about God. It's about Jesus. It's about his life that he's given to us. And we want to tell people about that. That's what this psalmist is doing. He's faithful. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. They had a street fair yesterday in Richfield Park. You can go down there and you can sing it. There's a piano right on the street down there outside of the florist shop, and they put it there so that people will come over and they can use the piano and they can play it and sing. Go and sing it, right? We could do that. It's like a gift from the town. Go ahead and say something. What is it you want to say? Use your gifts for the kingdom. You have different languages represented here. Say it in your language. Say it whatever language it is that you feel comfortable with. Use your created being, who you are, for the glory of God. And then he says this, I give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness to me, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. And that is a very interesting line here. You have exalted your name and your word. He has exalted it. God has put it out there. He has not hidden it under some kind of a haystack or put it somewhere far away in heaven. He has exalted it. He has put it out there for all to see. It is exhibited in all of the creation, the beauty of the heavens. I sent my family a picture of this ominous cloud formation that was over H Mart. I was in the parking lot and I stood there and I was like, that is the awesomeness of God. Right here, I'm looking at it and all of these incredible clouds, and some people would say there's a storm coming and it's going to rain. And I was like, the glory of God. He's exalted himself to see us. He's not hiding it. He's not showing. So why do we hide it? Why would we want to do that? We exalt you. We exalt you, Lord. We want you to know how great you are. And we also want people to know how great you are. What you have done in my life, all my life, you have been faithful. You have been so, so good. And when I see that, I don't see rain and clouds. I see your glory. I see you as the only true God, the only one amidst all these other gods. You are the true God. And now we come to the center of the psalm in verse 3. On the day I called, you answered me. On the day I called, you answered me. The strength of soul, you increased. The strength of soul, you increased. This is one of the most powerful verses I've ever read. Because it comes and it speaks to us. It speaks to us as people who say, why doesn't God give me an answer? Why doesn't he do things the way I tell him? Why doesn't he... You know, all these kind of complaints and doubt in God, right? And he says this for you if you say that. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. You gave me the soul, the strength in my soul that I needed to keep going. We never give up as children of God. Never. We always persevere, always pray, always praise, always give thanks. Never give up. And that is one of the lessons that you learn through sports as well. For you guys that are in sports, you never give up. And God can teach you that. And he's given you that opportunity in that wrestling match or in that basketball game or whatever, swimming, to learn to persevere. And it's not so you can learn about swimming as much as it is that you persevere in life. That you never give up because God is there for you. He has answered me. Right? He answered me. On the day I called you, you answered me. The strength of my soul you increased. Man. I plan to use that in my witness. I feel, you know, it's just so important to tell people this message. God is there for us. He answered me. He gave me an answer for my prayer. He came to my rescue, right? We're far too shy about it. We have to get over this shyness and feeling like we can't talk about these things. It needs to be. And God will do that in your life. I know it. Because David just wrote it. On the day I called, you answered me. The strength of my soul, you increased. And then he goes on from there. All the kings of the earth shall give thanks to you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. And how will they hear the word if it's not preached? How will they hear the word if it's not given to them? How will they hear anyone in all these nations if we don't go out and tell the world that God is powerful and steadfast in love, and his faithfulness is enduring, right? He doesn't keep it on just the level of himself. He expands it, and that's what the Bible does. It takes our own life, and then it goes from there, and it expands into all kings, all of the kings in the world. Think about the kings. Do any good kings come into your mind right now? They're far and few between, right? And so all the emphases is on this oh, they're just, you know, in bad shape, you know, we don't have any leaders, we don't have all these different things. But God takes that and he changes it completely. It doesn't become the idea of how to govern as a human being. It takes us into the expansiveness of our being created for God's glory, not just for humanity, for God. To God be the glory, not humanity. I was reading something the other day when someone wrote that. They said, it's a triumph of humanity. And I really, really, you know, understand where they're coming from, because they don't know that there's something better. So they see it only for what it's worth and what their community is. And so they're saying humanity is doing all these great things. They're achieving great things. And there's been a recent, you know, talk about the present situation in America and all the things that we're facing, right? And in the Constitution, it talks about moving in the direction of a perfect kind of a world, a perfect kind of a Constitution, you know, like one day we're going to get there. The only way that we're going to get there, according to God's word, is through Jesus. That is, there isn't any way that you and I can achieve anything. And what they were saying is misleading. It is very, very positive thinking. And it makes for a nice constitution, perhaps, but it's lacking the power of God. And that is where we come in this society. We have to speak up and show people God. You don't have to argue with people. You don't have to make fun of what they're doing and all those different things. What you do is present what you feel about God. You point them to God's word, right? You point them to God's word. They have heard the words of your mouth. Not your words, not my words, not arguing and saying, let me tell you about my life. It's the word of God. It's the word that God is giving to these kings. And that is when they will give thanks to the Lord like that. They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. And this is one day going to happen. Is going to happen because Jesus will return and all of these nations will be under his watch. And whether or not they have believed, they will know who he is. They will fully understand who he is. But if they are wise, they will now turn to him and give their lives and their kingship to him. They have heard the words of the Lord, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, the ways of the Lord. That was what we were talking about last week. Don't fret about the wicked in the world. Look to the ways of the Lord. Don't look to the world. Look to the way. Follow the ways of the Lord. That is all you need to do. If you want to give parental advice, you're going to start something new. You're coming to the end of something here. Humble yourself. Bow down before God, give thanks to him for what you have done and where you are and the things that he has coming up in your life, and follow his ways. Follow his ways. And he will direct your path and he will act in your life. If you don't say that to a child, you have lost the most important moment in their life. We cannot be quiet. And I'm not kidding. Like, I mean, we're talking about Ellie, and you're probably thinking, well, you know, she lives down in Philadelphia, and what could we do? You can pray. You pray for people. We are not praying enough in our church. We are not praying enough for a pastor to come for the Chinese congregation. We are not praying enough. We are all doing business, and we're doing a lot of planning for the summer and doing all kinds of things that we're going to do for ourselves, but we're not really praying in earnest, and we have to change that. And that word does not come from me. It comes from all of you, because you're responsible for what goes on in this church. It doesn't come when the pastor says, let's meet at this time. I can do that. It comes when people take it under their own volition and say, we need to do this, and if we're not going to do this, then we're not going to get a pastor. But we really need a pastor. How badly do you need something in your life? Are you willing to get on your knees and bow down before God and say, Lord, I call out to you and I pray for this? Right? It's not just limited to that one example. It's throughout all of our lives. But we listen to other voices. We fret over those other voices that we hear in the world. We do not trust the Lord completely. We do not delight in Him. We do not commit ourselves to Him. We follow what other people are telling us to do. That's what we have to learn. That is the biggest thing on our list. For though the Lord is high, He regards the lowly. Delightful. So delightful. The Lord is high. He has made the clouds that I saw over H Mart. He has made the people that I see every day in our church. He has given me my life. He has given me my parents. He gave me my sisters. He gave me people in my life who influenced me and God put in my path to help me, to love me, to show that He was real, to take me out of danger and bring me into safety. He gave me a talent for singing. He gave me all of these different things, right? Though the Lord is high and powerful, more powerful than anything that exists in our minds that we can possibly conceive of. And what did He do? He regards the lowly. He comes down from heaven. That was one of the biggest things I remember learning my first class in seminary. We were studying Genesis, and it said, God came down and walked in the garden. He came down, He brought life, He formed our lives, He gave us this world that we live in. It's not our own. Phones are not our own. Banks are not our own. Our homes are not our own. The food we eat is not our own. Nothing is ours. But for the grace of God. But for the grace of God. It is only from His hand. None of us have any talent to do anything or possibilities to do anything without Him. If you think so, then you're in sad shape and I'm worried for you. But if you put your trust in God, then I rejoice for your life because you have the secret that God wants you to know about, to bless you with in your life. Right? But though the Lord is high, this is a major, major verse. Though the Lord is high, He regards the lowly. He loves the lowly. He goes, Jesus went to those who were prostitutes. We're learning that in the lesson today in life prep, that he ate meals with people who were despised by the learned and high up people in the world. Why are you spending time with these lowly people, these lowly outcasts, these lowly people that don't do what the law says? Jesus said, you're the one that's lost. You're the one that's lowly. These people know because they know who I am and they love me. But you don't. You just care about your own reputation. You see the wisdom of that? Jesus comes down. He lives with people. He shows us how to live, how to love, who to spend time with. And we always listen to these other voices and we go, oh, if he's going there, oh, and if I go to another college, or oh, if I'm doing this other kind of a job and that person is doing such a great job and it's such a flashy job, then I'm just like nothing. No. You're listening and fretting over the other people. You're not delighting in the Lord. You're not delighting in your life and saying, I am worth something to God and He loves me and He regards me. Even though I am lowly in the eyes of many people, I know that Jesus is never going to turn on me. And that's why I say, I thank you, Lord, every time I get up in the morning. And that's when I say, thank you, Lord, when I read this psalm, because I've learned the truth. But But the haughty, the proud, he knows from afar. He loves the lowly and regards them and looks upon them, but he doesn't do that for the haughty, for the prideful. He knows from afar. You want to think of God being afar? Then you can think of him being afar from people that don't love one another, but don't listen to him, right? Great is the glory of the Lord, for although the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. And though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. Listen to this. Though I walk in trouble, in midst of trouble, you preserve my life. And if you are a sinner, which all of us are, born into sin from our lives, we are in trouble. It's important to tell people when they're in trouble. Why would you not want to do that? If you see somebody in Richfield Park's house is on fire, what do you do? Oh, you know, well, somebody else will call. It's probably just a small fire anyway. It's not my house, so what do I care? You know, the fire is going and it's probably towards the end, and I'm sure that the fire department is on their way. Right? No, you call up 911 and you say, did you get a call yet? There's a fire and I saw it, and it happened just the other day. I saw it on the news that some guy looked up and saw a fire and it was going and nobody had called. And so he called 911 and they went over there and they put out the fire. It's the same kind of thing in life. If you see someone who's in trouble in their life, namely that they don't know Jesus, then you have to tell them. If you have someone in your family that is doing something that's not right and you feel that it's wrong, then you have to tell them. I really think that the reason that we don't do that, it is a part of our, you know, our stubbornness and thinking, and we don't care, but I think that it's the devil. He's trying to get you to do that. Don't talk to them. They're going to react in a bad way. Let them die. Let them die in their sins. Who cares? As long as you're okay, let them die. Right? Though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. God has saved me. That is this testimony. He saved my life. I was this kid growing up in Glen Ridge. I was filled with all kinds of fears. I was struggling in my family. I had all kinds of problems. I heard my parents screaming at each other all the time, and I was really fed up with life. God came into my life, and he preserved it. And he turned it around. So that situation itself turned around. That's exactly what happened in my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The right hand of God is powerful. It saves us. And then lastly, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. And so that is this is the best way possible, and this is the most delightful part of this psalm, is that it comes back to this whole thing, that God will give us the desires of our heart. We need to delight in him, right? We delight in him, that all of the other things in life are not important. It's him that comes first. He comes first in our life, and then he develops that purpose that he had formed us with in our lives. That higher purpose of God that he has for our life, that we are his workmanship, that we are the work of his hands, and he has prepared something in advance for us to do, right? That is where this psalm ends and also begins. It takes us into that realm of, Lord, don't forsake the work of your hands. Look down upon me. Take my life. Let it be consecrated to you. Talk about a dedication. I dedicate my life to you, Lord. I may not do it in the congregation. I may not do it as a little baby. I may not have somebody dedicate me or something like that. But I am doing that right now. I am dedicating my life to you. You are my God. You are the God who's steadfast in love. You are the one that preserved my life. You saved me from sin. You came down from heaven and died on a cross for my sins. You rose again, giving life to all who believe in you, and you're ascended into heaven to be glorified again, and you're coming back, and you have a place in heaven for me. Give your life to Christ. Are you ready to do it? Raise your hand if you're ready to give your life to Christ. Amen? Give your life to Christ. He'll never let you down. You'll never be disappointed with that. Yes, you will go through things. Yes, you will have that. But it says right here, he answers you when you call him. He preserves your life when you're in trouble. He saves you from trouble. He helps you. And he also uses you for this important purpose that he has.